Hey, welcome to the Bitter Comics Podcast, and here's your host, JT Foreman.
That was a good Fat Albert impersonation, but you have to put more throatiness into it. Hey!
Oh yeah, this is a Fat Albert impression on a diet.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing too, is a Fat Albert impersonation. Hello! Welcome to episode 49 of Bitter Comics. I am JT Foreman, and I am here with my good friend Nick Warner. Yes. Now, some of you are thinking, well, why did you say his name twice, but, you know, once in the middle of his name? That just doesn't make any sense. But I wasn't. See, no. Nick Warner's nickname is Nick Warner. So I said his first name, and then his nickname, and then his last name.
Yeah, it's an easier way to identify myself. And, yeah, when people want to remember me, just remember that my...
It's easier to remember someone's nickname than their name.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, so you get a nickname. That's why people give you a nickname, because your name is too difficult to remember. Mm-hmm. So someone gave you the nickname Nick Warner. It's a lot easier to remember the nickname Nick Warner than the name Nick Warner.
Yeah, it's all about the convenience, really.
Yeah, and communication. You want to keep things organized and easy. You don't want to confuse people, making everything really complicated. So welcome to the show.
Yeah.
We begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. So, for my insensitivity in episode 48, I would like to apologize to black people, the Mayan calendar, zombies, masturbation, and 10 feet.
10 feet? What about 10 feet?
It was actually, yeah, it was involved in the masturbation discussion. Mm-hmm. I had decided to allow pressure to build up over time, and I believe I shot about 10 feet.
Oh, really?
Yes. I was very impressed with myself.
Oh.
You didn't know, did you know masturbation is an Olympic sport?
Really?
I hold world records for both speed and distance.
All right.
I'm an athlete. I know I don't look it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you probably...
Well, you know, I have the giant one arm, and that's how you should have been able to tell. I wonder what his sport is. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Not shot put or anything like that.
No, it's not the shot put. No. Actually, that would be interesting. I remember seeing a picture of some guy on the internet. He was apparently like a world champion arm wrestler, and he had one arm that was just gigantic. The other one was small. I'm not sure if the picture was photoshopped or not, but it was pretty hilarious. It's like he's got his left arm is like tiny and skinny, and his right arm is like Popeye arm. You know, it's just insane.
If anything, he's got dedication. That's what really matters.
Yes, that's right. Well, if you'd like to know why I'm apologizing to each of these things, just check out episode 48 and all our previous episodes at the website. That's bittercomics.podbean.com. If you would like to subscribe to the podcast, just go to that website, scroll down a little bit, and on the right side of the page, there are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or my Yahoo. I'm afraid I haven't been able to get the podcast into the iTunes store. I don't exactly know why, but you can still subscribe to it using iTunes by clicking on that button. And if you feel I owe any additional apologies or to make any comments, just send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com. In the subject line, just put, "You failed to prepare for the podcast again, piece of shit." See, I usually try to write a good intro and a line to put in the subject line that's actually associated with the previous episode. But once again, I spaced it. I didn't get it done. I didn't get the work done.
It's perfectly fine, JT. I mean, we are here right now. We are here raw and uncut.
Raw and uncut.
For your listening pleasure.
That's how I like my cocaine and my women. Raw and uncut.
Yes, I like my...
I'm not even sure what that means, but it sounded gross, and that was the intention. So
I like my women the way I like my guns. Loaded. Just whenever, you know, I just, when I see
loaded
women, they're drunk, you know, it makes me want to fire off a gun.
Safety off, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So how's it going? Anything exciting happening lately? Done any shows lately? Or
Yeah. I've been keeping busy. I've been filling in a few holes to my She-Hulk comic collection.
The She-Hulk?
That's the She-Hulk. The Incredible like. She-Hulk, yes.
I used to read comic books when I was in high school, and within about, I'd say a year, the cost of a single issue of a comic book went from like 75 cents to $1.50. And then I stopped collecting, and then like a year and a half later I started again. And then within a year of that, it went from like $1.50 to $3 for one issue. And it just, I enjoyed reading the comic books. The stories were fun. The art was cool, but it just, buying new ones got crazy expensive. Forget about how much your old issues cost if you missed one.
Oh yeah.
It just got insane.
Well, you can thank the speculators for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They think that eventually these comic books are going to be worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
If you collect them all and all that, but you know, in the meantime, you've just got a bunch of paper.
Yeah. Well,
that's
costing
me money.
There used to be over, like, you know, there used to be thousands of comic book stores across the country. Now there's a few hundred. It just, you know, something happened a few things happened that destroyed the industry. Honestly, I think the biggest problem was that the makers of the comic book company of the comic books got a little too greedy, and they screwed it up. Because you know, not only did they raise the price of the cover price on the comic books, but then they started trying buying up the distributors. A friend of mine owned a comic book shop in Memphis, and he ordered his comic books from, like, I think it was Diamond Distributors, and so he had this one form that he would fill out each month for his orders for his comic books and posters and all kinds of other stuff. So he had one order that he filled out each month, and then I might have the company names wrong, but this is basically what happened. Marvel Comics bought like the Capital Distribution Company and then said, okay, if you want Marvel comic books, you have to order them from Capital. And then DC Comics, which is, you know, Superman, Batman, all that stuff, they bought like the third largest distributor in the country and said, if you want DC Comics, you have to order them from ours. And then it within a couple of months, it went from he had one order form to fill out to order all of his stuff. And because he had a giant order, he got a big discount on the price. To now he's got to fill out four different order forms for four different companies. And because each order was so much smaller, he didn't get anywhere near the discount.
Right.
So he went from paying 30% of the cover price to paying 60% of the cover price, and the amount of work he had to do ordering quadrupled because there were four forms he had to fill out, and he decided it wasn't worth it anymore, and he closed the store.
Right. And as you know, if you've heard, Disney has now bought Marvel.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so now if you read the comics, the superheroes don't actually fight the bad guys. They just hug them. They just hug it out.
They hug it out?
Yeah, I just hug it out. And I'm bitter about it, which is why I'm talking about it right now on this podcast.
Well, that's what Bitter Comics is for, is here for our bitterness.
Definitely.
Actually, we're comics isn't comedians, though, and I wasn't really expecting this to be a comic book conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, so what comedy shows have you been doing lately? Anything exciting?
Well, I hold shows, comedy shows, in my bedroom. They're usually no cover, so if anyone would like an invitation to that, you know where to find me on the streets.
Comedy shows, you usually only invite women to those shows and one at a time. And
well, that's the key word, usually.
Usually,
yeah.
Usually. We're not here to judge. We're here to ridicule, but we're not here to judge. Have you been going to any of the shows in town lately, or have you been able to get out to anything?
Yeah. I was just at the Selma Comedy Competition.
Oh, yeah. It was Julian Aguilar held that competition.
Oh, yeah. That
I didn't even hear about it.
You didn't?
I think I vaguely recall getting a text message from Julian like 3 months ago.
Mm.
But other than that, I don't remember hearing anything about it. How was the show? I mean, good crowd? Or?
There was a great crowd, really. Did
they hold that at Pirate Pizza?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I know he's done a few shows there. I love the churros.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
I wanted to play a song on the jukebox, but it was all mariachi music. So I didn't know what to do about that.
I find it hilarious that a Mexican family owns Pirate Pizza.
Yeah.
Pirate Pizza?
Mm-hmm.
I don't associate Mexicans with pizza. I don't associate Mexicans with pirates.
Mm.
But now that they've combined the two, it still doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, sorry about that. Stopped recording all of a sudden for a minute. Okay, so what have you been doing lately? How's it going?
It's been perfectly fine. I've just been working out, you know, just working out my body and keeping myself physically fit and healthy, because, you know, health is one of the most important things with existing in in this modern world, I think that, you know, we should just keep our bodies fit and so that we can live as long as we possibly can.
Do you like your life?
I would say that life is something that is likable.
Well, see, I think life kind of sucks, so why would you want to extend it? I'm not advocating suicide here, of course. But, well, see, there's the biggest thing, is that I know people who are these, like, total health nuts, and they want to stay in shape all the time. And you know, I've even talked to people who decide they're going to become vegetarian or even vegans.
Yes.
You know, just, oh, I can't have anything or, you know, having to do with animals. And, you know, I understand the concept of wanting to be in good enough shape to where you get winded. You don't get winded tying your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, too. I mean, that was why I decided I was going to lose a little bit of weight, is because I went to tie my shoes and I had to hold my breath. And I decided, okay, I can either buy slip-ons or I can get up and move around once in a while. So I decided to get up. I couldn't find any slip-ons my size that I liked, so I decided to start moving around a little bit more. But
so you found the slip-ons?
I found slip-ons, but I couldn't find any my size that I liked.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was really tempted by the big fluffy ones that look like cow heads. But, you know, just they would say moo every time I stepped, and I just didn't feel like having to change the batteries all the time.
Maybe you should just invest in a pair of Uggs. You know, I see some men wearing some Uggs, and it works.
You know what? I can't wear anything called Uggs.
Oh, why?
I don't think I could do that.
Yeah.
and look at myself in the mirror and call myself a man.
Right.
I wore something called Uggs.
And yeah.
It just, I don't, you know, it's, Uggs are the second worst idea for shoes I've ever heard of. Okay, here's, Uggs are, they're from Australia, right? And they're made of sheepskin.
I believe so.
Okay. And they charge hundreds of dollars for these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the largest agricultural industry in Australia is?
What?
Sheep herding.
No.
Yes. So they have millions of extra sheep, and they slaughter them for food, and so they've got all of this extra sheepskin left over.
Yeah.
And I remember I was listening to a comedian who's from Australia, and I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, and he was talking about Uggs, and he said, we've got tons of this shit that we just throw away. I mean, like, shoes made of sheepskin. In Australia, you might pay a couple of bucks for them because they got so much of that crap that they just practically give the stuff away. But they've convinced us that they're some special Australian thing, and now people pay hundreds of dollars for pairs of Uggs in the United States.
Interesting. Well, if you ever want to go dumpster diving in Australia, JT, just let me know, and we'll make our way out there and scour the trash cans.
I don't think I want to go dumpster diving.
Oh, really?
Thanks, though. You know what? There's plenty of dumpsters here in Fresno. If I really wanted to go dumpster diving, I don't think I would want to go dumpster diving in Australia. However, there seem to be tours for everything these days. I bet if you went to the internet and you said, I'm going on vacation. What kind of vacation should I want? Well, you know, I really enjoy dumpster diving. And I like to travel. So, I wonder if there's an international dumpster diving tour, and I bet there is.
There probably is.
I bet if you went to look for one, I bet you could find one.
Yeah.
I bet you could find at least one. There's probably a couple of them on there.
Yeah, just going back to the root of this topic, just health and all that, just it's just good to be active and fit. And
so, are you like jogging or are you lifting weights?
A little bit of both. I try to lift weights while jogging.
Looking at your arms, I bet it's very little bit of weightlifting.
Very little bit, but as you can see, it's just solid
bone.
Yeah. So it would be very hard to break that mass.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, muscle actually is kind of soft. So if you don't have any muscle, all you have is bone, and you hit someone, I bet it would hurt.
Yeah, and that's why She-Hulk is a great role model for me.
Oh, you like She-Hulk?
Yeah, She-Hulk is great.
She-Hulk. Let's see. The Hulk, of course, got converted by gamma radiation. If I remember right, didn't David Banner give his sister Bruce Banner? For some reason, they changed the name of the Hulk for the TV show. It was David Banner in the TV show, right? And Bruce Banner in the comic book?
I believe so, yeah.
Or do I have that? Well, either way, His sister got injured and he had to give her a blood transfusion, or his cousin.
Right. Yeah.
It's his cousin, right?
Yeah.
And that's, and so she got a blood transfusion, and that's why she can control her transformation. Or did they, have they changed the story on that?
Well, as I
remember, at one point she could control the transformation, and then at another point she was just stuck in She-Hulk mode all the time.
Well, yeah.
So she was like 7.5 feet tall and green and big muscles and giant boobies. And
exactly.
God, I had such a crush on She-Hulk when I was in high school.
Right. She's basically just herself. She's not all growly and out of control. She's actually a competent.
She's not the She-Hulk smash. No, she's.
No, she's a fairly competent working woman in the workforce. I believe she's a lawyer.
Yeah, well, they change the stories all the time, of course. When I was in high school and I read comic books, she was a lawyer back then. And I remember reading one issue where she was actually arguing before the Supreme Court against the Mutant Registration Act.
Mm-hmm.
They come up with this. And, you know, in Marvel Comics, mutants, which are, you know, the people born with these superpowers, that was the stand-in for every minority group in the world. So any kind of treatment of minorities that they wanted to say, well, that's horrible, they would talk about the way mutants are treated instead.
Right.
And, the difference is you're not going to have a black guy, if you call him the N-word, shoot laser beams out of his eyes at you. But just like the Hulk, he might beat the crap out of you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we had green-colored people walking around these streets, I'm sure someone would get offended.
That's true. Yeah, somebody would make fun of the green people. But just like he did in Star Trek, Captain Kirk would still fuck him.
I believe so. Right.
Was it Eddie Murphy said, he fucked a green bitch. You gotta be pretty horny to fuck a green bitch. I ain't racist or nothing, but if the bitch is green, something's wrong with the pussy.
Either that or you're vegetarian to some extent.
Tastes leafy. Put some ranch on this?
Right.
That's not ranch. On that note, we're going to take a break real quick. I am JT Foreman. We are the Bitter Comics. I'm here with Nick Warner. Warner?
I believe so. That's the correct terminology.
Absolutely. Yeah, we will be right back. This is JT Foreman here with Nick Warner. I'm just going to call you by your nickname from now on, Nick Warner.
Sounds good.
All right, cool. We are the Bitter Comics, and we are back. All right, now, I think I didn't do a list last week, but every week I try to find a list to talk about. I was watching TV the other day. I came across Pat Robertson, and he made some crazy quote about how the gay, Jewish, black, hysterical immigrant
conspiracy
against evangelical Christian abortion rights were trying to destroy destroy America.
Well, those are all terrible things that should not exist.
That God thinks that the hurricane he sent to punish us for the Pride Parade should destroy. He says a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense.
Oh yeah.
He had said something, and I started thinking about that. If I remember correctly, he said that the rise of homosexuality was a sign of the devil or something like that.
Something like that.
So I started thinking, well, you know, he says a lot of things are the sign of the devil.
Yeah.
So I started wondering, well, what else has he said is the sign of the devil? And I couldn't find a list that was straight, this is the sign of the devil, so saith Pat Robertson. But I did find this one list. The 10 stupidest things Pat Robertson ever said. This is a list on politicalhumor.about.com by Daniel Kurtzman. I will put a link to this in the show notes so that you guys can find it and awesome. Take a look. Here we go. A few of Pat Robertson's best quotes here. Number 10. Lord, give us righteous judges who will not try to legislate and dominate this society. Take control, Lord. We ask for additional vacancies in the court. Okay.
Sounds a bit preachy.
Well, he is a preacher, so I guess anything he says would be preachy. He could say pass the milk. Yeah, I wonder if he's sitting around the kitchen table and his wife he says to his wife, pass the milk, and she'll say, that sounds a little preachy. Do you think that ever happens?
I'm sure it's happened once or twice.
Can I have some asparagus? You got to tell me how to live my life. I just asked you to pass the asparagus. You are always just so preachy. But you know, there's a couple problems I have with this line. Okay. It begins with, "Lord, give us righteous judges who will not try to legislate and dominate this society." I mean, the whole point of the court system is that they're the judges, that they're the arbiters of right and wrong. You know, Congress passes these laws, and we've got the Constitution, and their job is to look at the law and look at what happened and decide whether or not that is or isn't against the law, and whether or not that law comports with the Constitution. It's their job.
Right.
But they're not legislating. They're making sure that people are following what the legislation says. And the Constitution is the top legislation. That was passed by Congress a long time ago.
Right.
So, and then the second thing I don't like here is, we asked for additional vacancies in the court. It sounds to me like Pat Robertson is asking God to strike the judges down.
Well,
so that there will be vacancies on the court.
It's always a sticky issue, in that sometimes you got to take the law into your own hands, and whether that means that you interpret the Constitution your way, and what do these laws really even mean? Are they really protecting us from ourselves, from the government, or from God?
Well, I guess it depends upon the law, but I mean, what law are you referring to again?
All of them.
All of them?
All of them.
Well, it's that you can't, you got, which law are we talking about? I mean, and which judges is he talking about? You know, whenever a case goes against what Pat Robertson or the Republicans like, they're always, they're legislating from the bench. Mm-hmm. But when a case goes in their favor where the court is clearly making up rules,
right?
They don't seem to mind that. You know, they don't like it when it overturns a law, and these unelected judges have overturned the will of the people. But when the law overturns something that was elected by the people, and they like it, like the Citizens United case,
right,
that overturned a law that was passed by Congress, who was elected by the people. But they didn't seem to mind. He didn't seem to mind that.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying that everyone else isn't a hypocrite too, but it just seems really hypocritical that him to do that as well. I mean, you know, you can like or don't like what happened and give your reasons, but to just say they're legislating from the bench, well, that's just bullshit. I mean, if you think it's real, then both sides do it, and if you don't think it's real, and then neither side is doing it, they're just making bad decisions.
Yeah, you can't really have a real say. You know, you're a preacher, and you're, you know, where's the separation of church and state here?
He has the right to say anything that he wants.
Exactly.
To. I mean, the separation of church and state is God said so is not a good enough reason to pass a law.
Yeah.
You can believe something should be a law because God said so, but your God or my God or his God, I mean, because there's a lot of different, even if you're just talking about Christianity, there's a lot of different forms of Christianity. And there's some kinds of Christianity that some people don't think are Christian. A lot of Christians would say that Mormonism isn't Christian. But right. If you ask a Mormon, he would say, yeah, that is Christian.
Yeah.
I mean, the full name of the church is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That is the name of the Mormon church. So, I mean, they have Jesus Christ in the name of the church. Of course, it's Christian. But they say, well, it doesn't have the Trinity, and it's broken down in a different way. So that's not really Christian.
Right. And I always think it's kind of silly.
I mean, that's why you got to keep the religion out of it, because everyone has their different idea of what the right religion is. But there is only one right and wrong, regardless of what religion says. You shouldn't shoot someone in the head.
Right.
For just because they're walking down the street and they gave you a dirty look. There was a survey that was done. They were talking to Amish people.
Yeah.
And you asked the Amish people, okay, why don't you work on Sunday? And they would say, well, I mean, it says in the Bible that you're supposed to have the day of rest and you're not supposed to work on that day. Okay. Now, if the Bible didn't say that, would it be okay to work on Sunday? And they said, well, yes, of course. All right. Why don't you murder people?
That's a good one.
Well, I mean, thou shalt not kill. Okay, if that wasn't in the Bible, if the Bible didn't say don't kill people, would it be okay to run around and kill people? Well, no, of course not. Why is that different? What's the difference here? Okay, so that means right and wrong is not dependent upon the religion.
Right, right.
You know, and there are certain things that are consistent through all religions. Like you're not supposed to just go around murdering people for no reason is one of them. You're not supposed to steal and all that stuff. So, you know, right and wrong isn't dependent upon the religion. It's these other things that they like to throw in there. And arguments over like abortion is, well, some people are saying no, that's not wrong, and other people are saying yes, it is wrong. But and so that's where these contentious arguments come out of.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and it's kind of silly because, you know, what is this country founded on? It's founded on the idea of having your religious freedom, that you don't have to, you know, conform to any beliefs other than your own. So, well, to have this issue in this day and age, it's just really redundant.
Well, to a large degree, I think that's kind of a myth. The idea that we were the country was founded on religious freedom. I mean, that's one of the freedoms that has been put into the Constitution. But I mean, go back to when people first moved back here. Of the 13 colonies, most of them were theocracies when they were formed. I mean, the whole reason, what was it? I think it was Delaware was formed by people who fled Massachusetts because, you know, they were like Quakers or something, and
something like
people
that.
In Massachusetts were Protestants and were going to kill them because they weren't Protestant, and so they fled and formed their own. I don't remember exactly what all these are, but you know, each one of the original 13 colonies were founded. You know, they say, well, we're fleeing religious persecution, and they came here and they started their own religion, and they prosecuted and, you know, persecuted anyone who showed up who wasn't the same religion as them.
Right.
And, I mean, and then I think now the country was founded on two very simple ideas. This is my opinion and of my reading of history and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is your podcast, so these are all your opinions.
Yeah, well, two things. First of all, we're all on the same team. And second, you should have the right to do anything you want to do as long as you're not interfering with anyone else's ability to do what they want to do.
Exactly.
So we kind that's of what it's that. Based on, and that's why religion you need to leave people alone if they want to leave them alone. And you can't pass a law that's based solely on your own religion.
Yeah. I mean, it's all fun and games until someone writes a musical based on your religion.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Actually, you know what? The Book of Mormon musical.
Yeah.
I was listening to an interview with Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mormons they've talked to who've seen it love it.
Right. Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. They're not getting any pushback from the Mormon church about it. All the Mormons who've actually seen that love the show.
Yeah.
Because, and I have not seen it, so I can't make a personal commentary on it.
Right.
As much as I'd like to, you know, I'd like to see it. I'm really curious about it. When I was growing up, off and off, my dad took us to a Mormon church. And, you know, he's still a believer. I'm not, but he is. And it's always been really fascinating to me that a nation who claims that one of the things that they're founded on is religious freedom has so much persecution toward a religion that was founded here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we talk a good game about letting people believe what they want to believe, but we don't seem to do it much.
We really don't. I like to believe certain things. I like to believe that, you know, we can be whatever we want to be, but in reality, we just are what we are. And that's kind of a very vague way to put it, but sometimes a cryptic message is the best way to get what you're saying out there.
Well, the problem, like, the there's so much in the Bible, it's all what is it called? They don't come out and say very much. it's so much of it is metaphor.
Right.
But the things that they do actually come out and say, have you ever read through Leviticus? I mean, it's pretty clear you're not supposed to be gay.
Right.
But it's also pretty clear that you're not supposed to wear mixed fabrics. It's also pretty clear that you're not supposed to eat pork on Fridays, and or it was a beef or something. And there's all kinds of rules in there that no one even considers following that are very, very clear that you're not supposed to be doing this stuff. But no one seems to mind doing that, but they scream and yell about the gay shit. And, you know, if you read through the New Testament, Jesus didn't say word one about homosexuality. He didn't mention it at all either way. So anyone who claims to be Christian, your book is the New Testament, because there's no Jesus in the Old Testament. There's just Jesus in the New Testament. So if you're claiming to be Christian, your book doesn't mention homosexuality, so you shouldn't.
Right, right.
But we're getting really preachy here. We're going to take a break real quick. I should have expected this to happen when I started talking about quotes from Pat Robertson.
Right.
But we're going to take a break here real quick. I'm JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics. I'm here with Nick Warner.
Hey, hey.
We will be right back. This is JT Foreman here with Nick Warner. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right. I went on a 10-minute anti-religious rant there for a second there.
Oh, I wouldn't call it anti-religious.
I'm a big fan of religion if it leaves me alone. You know, because, right. You know, if any sort of belief that keeps you from robbing me at the ATM machine, I'm all for. But you know what? I'm not going to get in your face about my atheism. So don't get in my face about your theism.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
You know, and that's the biggest thing to me, is that you get to believe what you want to believe or not, and I get to believe in or not believe what I want to believe, and we're not supposed to impose those beliefs on each other.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider myself to be very religious at all, but someday I would like the fear of God to be put in me somehow.
When I believed in God, I thought he was kind of a prick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the more I looked into it, the more I read about it. I've read the Bible a couple of times, and I've read the Quran. I've read a lot of religious books, and I've read a lot of books about religion. And the more I looked into it, the more I researched to try to find out what's going on, the less I believed.
Right.
Because it just, I mean, Jesus walked on water. So did half the gods in mythology.
And Chris Angel.
And Chris Angel. I mean, so there's, it just, it, it, all of the, all of it seems they're telling the same story over and over.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just, it all seems so unlikely to me. Now, don't get me wrong. I would love to find out that in the end, there's some justice in the universe. I have no problem with the concept that, you know, when I die, I'm going to be punished for my sins, as long as everyone else is punished for theirs too. Because I know in my life I've done some kind of shitty things. I know I have. And, you know, I won't bother spelling them out here right now. You guys know who you are. But I've been a dick to people. I've lied. I've done stuff I shouldn't have done. But, you know, I've never stole $30 billion from tens of thousands of people and destroyed people's retirement like Bernie Madoff. I've never murdered people like Jeffrey Dahmer. I've never done any of that kind of stuff. And those people, it seemed like they get rewarded. You know, so many people at the upper end of society, it seems like they do all of this crazy stuff. And yeah, they get punished in the end or they don't. But we get to the next life, the idea that I'm going to be punished for my sins if everyone else is punished for theirs too is cool. You know what? I can deal with fairness. I would love to believe that in the end the universe is fair. I just haven't seen anything to convince me of it.
Yeah, that's why my plan is just to outlive everyone I know.
Okay, that way you can just go and piss on everyone's grave?
Yes.
Say, haha, I won, and then keel over.
Yeah, either that or just cryogenically freeze myself.
Oh, well,
just to cheat death somehow.
Just to make sure you stay alive.
Right.
All right, I can see that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's continue on with Pat Robertson's quotes. Let's see, number 9. Just like that, what Nazi Germany did to the Jews, so liberal America is now doing to evangelical Christians. It's no different. It is the same thing. It is happening all over again. It is the Democratic Congress, the liberal-based media, and the homosexuals who want to destroy the Christians. Wholesale abuse and discrimination, and the worst bigotry directed toward any group in America today, more terrible than anything suffered by any minority in history. That's right. The slavery of the blacks in America, the slaughter of millions of Jews in Europe during World War II, the Armenian genocide, the 1.5 million people that Pol Pot murdered, that is nothing compared to making you take your nativity scene down from the courthouse steps.
It really is, and I'm going to have to agree with him on this one. We gotta play good cop, bad cop on
this. I know. I feel so bad. I mean, I know, you know, I'm 1/4 Jewish. So instead of saying that 16 million people were killed in the Holocaust, I have to say 4 million because I'm only 1/4 Jewish. So 4 million people, 4 million of my people, because, you know, only 1/4 of them are my people since I'm only 1/4 of the people.
Right.
Is that how the math works?
Something like that. About, yeah. Like that.
Okay, so 4 million of my people were killed. And so that's that, and that's nothing compared to going down to the courthouse on Christmas, mm-hmm, and saying that nativity scene shouldn't be there. No, you know, sorry, that's insane. Yeah, it's like when they say that during the campaign, when they say Barack Obama was the most liberal member of Congress. You know, I remember hearing that all the time during the 2008 election. More liberal than Dennis Kucinich? More liberal than Bernie Sanders, the member of the Senate who says he's a socialist? Barack Obama's more liberal than them. He's the most liberal president we've ever had. More liberal than Lyndon Johnson, who passed the Great Society. More liberal than FDR, who passed the New Deal. Barack Obama's more liberal than these guys. Really? Okay.
We just gotta think.
You know, I think he's overreacting just a little bit. He's probably still pissed off that the hurricane he called down didn't show up.
Well, in this day and age, the only thing that matters is the present moment. So anything in the past is essentially irrelevant.
Yeah,
you can say anything is the most, anyone is the most liberal right now, because no one's really going to go and do the research.
Yeah, no one remembers anything.
It's not. That's the attention span of the internet generation.
Number 8. I would warn Orlando that you're right in the way of some serious hurricanes, and I don't think I'd be waving those flags in God's face if I were you. This is not a message of hate. This is a message of redemption. But a condition like this will bring about the destruction of your nation. It'll bring about terrorist bombs. It'll bring earthquakes, tornadoes, and possibly a meteor. Pat Robertson was talking about the gay days at Disney World. You know, I gotta say, you're kind of... I can't call it a real prediction if you say a hurricane is going to hit Florida. You're just kind of playing the odds here.
Right.
I mean, there's a good chance a hurricane is going to hit Florida anytime, really. I mean, if I say, hey, a hurricane is going to hit Florida in the next 10 years, and sometime in the next 10 years a hurricane hits Florida, I don't think I really predicted that. Yeah, and let's pretend that he's right. He really, you know, he's calling down this hurricane, and, you know, it's like, pray for a hurricane. He's done that before. We should pray to destroy whatever. If it happens, he should be guilty of murder.
He did say God
as a weapon to kill someone. I think we should charge him with that.
It would probably go over in the courts.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the worst thing about that. The gay days at Disney World has nothing to do with them. It's something that the gay community itself actually goes and organizes. Hey, you know what? We're all gay. Let's all go. It'd be like if Microsoft decides, hey, you know what? The new Star Wars movie has come out. So we're going to go and buy tickets for everyone who works here, and we're all going to go see the new Star Wars movie together. That actually happened when I was living up in Seattle around 99-2000, and so when the first new Star Wars movie came out, I was living up there, and in Redmond, Washington, in Bellevue, where the Microsoft campus is, and they, you know, all a lot of different departments would buy tickets, and they'd all go see Star Wars together. I mean, they're a bunch of computer geeks. Of course, they love science fiction.
Yeah.
So if is Apple gonna now see that and say, well, George Lucas is discriminated against Apple because they're having a Microsoft day at the movie theater to see Star Wars? No, Microsoft decided to take everyone to see Star Wars.
Yeah.
And that's what happened here. A bunch of gay dudes got together and said, you know what? Let's all go to Disney World. And now you're going to blame Disney World because a bunch of gay dudes decided to all show up on the same day.
Well, as long as they're all wearing the same clothes and you can tell who they are, you know, jeans and white t-shirt. Well, that means
they're
t-shirt.
On the same team, yeah. If you see a bunch of people all dressed the same, that means they're on the same team. That doesn't mean that that's your team.
As long as we can identify them, then yeah, we can deal with them.
You know, it's like in Germany, they would put the Star of David on the Jews' chest.
Right.
I think we need to come up with some sort of a symbol for homosexuals and put them on their shirts so that we know who they are.
That would work. Well, you've heard it here first, folks.
That's right.
Hurricane season is upon us.
What would a Holocaust of gay people be called?
The Homocaust?
Homocaust?
Yeah. But
that would be the Homocaust. Okay, that's right. The Homocaust. All right. Let's get through some more of these quotes here real quick before we got to go. Let's see. The feminist agenda is not about equal rights for women. It's about a socialist anti-family political movement that encourages women to leave their husbands, kill their children, practice witchcraft, destroy capitalism, and become lesbians? Okay, first of all, okay, yeah, I said become lesbians, all right. But I can't really blame anyone for that. If a lesbian is trying to convince another lesbian to become a lesbian, I can't blame them for that. Because I would love to, I know a few lesbians that I would love to convince to become straight because they're freaking hot.
Right.
Okay, that's just a woman trying to get laid. All right, I really can't hold that against anyone. I mean, she's trying to get some pussy, and I'd like to get some pussy. So, I mean, you know, that's fair.
It all works out. I mean, you can persuade whichever way you want. I mean, it's more legitimate if they have some sort of pamphlet or literature that they're handing out.
Yeah.
Instead of just doing it the old-fashioned way.
Buying them drinks and slipping them a roofie.
Exactly.
Yeah. Number six, I know this is painful for the ladies to hear, but if you get married, you have accepted the headship of a man, your husband. Christ is the head of the household, and the husband is the head of the wife, and that is the way it is, period. Actually, I don't want to be, I don't want to have to give head. I want the woman to give me head. Right? Am I misunderstanding his point? And I certainly don't want Jesus to give me head.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, he's got that big frizzly beard, and he's just like half trimmed. It looks like he hasn't shaved in 3 days. I bet it's like really, really kind of rough. I mean, it's kind of like my beard. It like, you know, really itchy, and it would kind of hurt if he were down there.
I personally don't mind who's giving head as long as someone's paying the bills.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. All right. It would be nice to have. You know, that's the thing. As like, you know, guys, the men go to work. Mm-hmm. Men are the ones who are expected to work, and women are in the home. And men die younger than women do.
Something like that.
So now women want to work. Cool. They'll go to work. I can stay home. I get to play with kids all day. Sit on, watch TV, play video games, watch soap operas. Who cares? She'll come home and have dinner ready. And then she'll die before me. I'll inherit everything. And then I'll go and fuck an 18-year-old.
What are you inheriting?
I don't know. The theory is sound, just because in practice it doesn't work.
Right.
Number five, I'd like to say to the good citizens of Dover, now it's Dovener. First it was Orlando, now it's Dover. Didn't he talk some shit about New Orleans just after Katrina, too?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, well, they were about to have a gay pride parade, so that's why the hurricane hit. Maybe the hurricane hit because it's hurricane season. It's called hurricane season for a reason, right?
I believe so.
You know, more tornadoes hit within the Bible Belt than ever anywhere else. So Allah sent those.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Allah sends the tornadoes. God sends the hurricanes. And the earthquakes are tickle me elmo. All right. On that note, we're going to take a break real quick. I'm JT Foreman here with Nick Warner.
Hey.
We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. Okay, this is JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics here with Nick Warner. We're back. Let's go through this real quick because I do got a couple of news stories I want to talk about before we go.
All right.
Number four, God considers this land to be his. You read the Bible and it says, this is my land. For any prime minister of Israel, blah, blah, blah. You get it, right? And he tells the United Nations, and don't make Israel give land to the Palestinians.
Well, as the old song goes, this land is my land, this land is your land, but I like it to be more my land than it is yours.
This land is my land. It is not your land. I like it my land. So get off my land.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know what? It's the thing, though, is that God created the whole earth, right?
Right.
He's the creator. He created the whole earth. So that means all of the land is his, not just Palestine. So which part of, you know, if it's God's land. All of it is God's land, so I think we need to just turn over everything to the Israelis, and we'll swim in the ocean, I guess.
Right. Well, there's things I've been thinking about like this, that if all men were created equal, wouldn't that make God somewhat of a communist in a way? And none of that is really American to me.
Anyone who thinks all men are created equal has never been into a men's locker room.
Definitely.
Number three, maybe we need a very small nuke thrown off on Foggy Bottom to shake things up. That's Pat Robertson on wanting to nuke the State Department. Yay.
Gotta nuke something.
There's the quote here about wanting to assassinate the President Hugo Chavez of Venezuela. You know, I don't know about this doctrine of assassination, but if he thinks they're going to try to assassinate him, I think that we really ought to go ahead and do it. It's a whole lot cheaper than starting a war. We have the ability to take him out, and I think the time has come that we exercise that ability. We don't need another $200 billion war to get rid of one, you know, strong-arm dictator. It's a whole lot easier to have some of the covert operatives do the job and then just get it over with. And then, of course, it may be a blessing in disguise. Something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people might not want to talk about it. Haitians were originally under the heel of the French. You know, Napoleon III or whatever? And they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you get us free of the French. True story. See, anytime someone says true story,
it's probably
then
not
you
true,
know yeah. It's true. I mean, who would say true story if it's not a true story? True story.
Right.
And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. You know, I just don't see the devil using that turn of phrase. Okay, it's a deal. I would expect some more, you know, like old English kind of statement from him. It's, thou dost sign thy name in blood on thy contract, and forever thou shalt have your souls be mine. You know, that's kind of the, I see him speaking more Shakespearean than street.
He's probably got a few rhetorical tools under his sleeve.
I don't know. You think the devil speaks street? Really?
Probably.
Just do it, man. Do it. It's a deal. What's up? Yo. You know, I don't see that, you know?
He'd probably say, you know, you can sign this contract if you want, but, you know, only if you want to.
Yeah.
And that would get more people. It makes it feel more comfortable.
Yeah. Well, that was him talking about the earthquake in Haiti in, was it January 13th? Was it last year or year before?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So, Pat Robertson, hooray. Such a fun guy. All right, I want to do a couple news stories real quick before we get going. Let's see here. The family of a man who died while having a threesome with a woman and a male friend has been awarded $3 million from his cardiologist because the doctor did not warn him to avoid physical exertion.
So this is a male-female threesome?
Yes, a male-male-female threesome. It does not say whether the deceased was a piece of bread or one of the meat. He could have been one of the pieces of bread, or it could have been the meat. It doesn't say.
I don't think anyone really wants to know.
I don't think so either. It's only 31, though. You know, so. But, here it is. In 2009, 31-year-old William Martinez of Lawrenceville, Georgia, went to cardiologist Dr. something Gangansi. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this shit. Complaining what were described as increasing episodes of new chest pain that radiated into his arm. Determined that the man was at high risk of having clogged heart arteries and ordered a nuclear stress test to be done 8 days later. However, Martinez died a day before the scheduled test while having a threesome with a friend and a woman who was not his wife, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Okay, so this guy cheated on his wife with his buddy and his buddy's girlfriend, I guess?
That's friendship right there.
Well, either that or, okay, how hot would the girl have to be for you to be willing to do a threesome with a friend of yours? Because, you know, the bar of the woman I'd be willing to fuck, I'll be honest with you, it's kind of low.
Right.
But that bar goes up quite a bit for me to be willing to show my penis to another dude. And if that dude is someone I know who I'm sure is going to make jokes to all of my friends about how small my penis is, that, you know, the bar of how hot the woman's got to be is pretty high get to the point to where I'd be willing to have a three-way with another guy, a guy friend of mine.
Well, I don't know if I can accurately answer this question because I just assume that I'm blindfolded in any of these sexual scenarios.
Yeah. But you assume that in all sexual scenarios, don't you?
Yeah.
Someone is blindfolded.
Someone is.
It might be you. It might be the girl. It might be the other guy in the room. It might be the dwarf. But someone is blindfolded. If there's sex and you involved, one of the senses of one of the people has to be inhibited.
It does.
Okay. That's see no evil. So.
And that's how we got the pin the tail on the donkey birthday game. That's how it originated.
Poke the tail of the donkey. You have the girl dress up as a donkey. Never mind. So earlier this week, jury agreed. Okay, here it is. The plaintiff's lawyers, Rod Edmund. One of the lawyers for the plaintiff in this case is named Rod. Awesome. Rod Edmund and Trisha Hoffler, who represented the estate of William Martinez, argued that Dr. Gang failed to take a proper medical history and failed to inform the patient to stop all physical activity until the test was completed. Okay.
Man.
You know. Okay. You're having heart problems.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, if you'd warned him. But I had if the girl passed that bar of when I'd be willing to do the three-way with my buddy, even if he'd have warned me, I probably would have done it. But okay, so the jury awarded $5 million, but reduced it after determining that Martinez was 40% liable for his own death. So the jury awarded him $5 million, but then said he's liable for 40% of his own death. So the doctor's only liable for 60% of the death. So that's why it was $3 million.
I like those statistics.
Yeah, I wonder how you determine that. How do you determine it's 40-60, and it's not 33-64 or 67. It's not, you know, 45-55. It's 40-60. I wonder.
Well, there's a nice solid round numbers.
Yeah, that's true. All right, one more news story before we go. This just in: a black lesbian handicapped immigrant has been given the 2012 Most Discriminated Against Person in the World Award.
Oh my God. Can't be good.
And she says that she's considering converting to Islam in order to be able to compete in next year's competition.
Well,
I'm just kidding. Actually, I made that up.
Yeah, I was going to say I'd be glad that she's taking some initiative.
Yeah, it is good that she's So, actually, we're almost out of time here. Nick, do you have any shows you're going to be going to in the near future? Anything you're going to be doing?
In the near future.
Anything you're working on you want to talk about?
I'm working on my Soap Docs Derby automobile.
Okay.
And my my race is coming up.
You're not really, are you?
I'd like to be. I'd like to be. You'd like to be.
Okay, yeah, all right. I get that. You know, we all have dreams.
We do have dreams.
You know, here's the thing, though. Is that you're gonna work really hard to make the Soapbox Derby mm-hmm. car yourself. You're gonna get there to the race, and everyone else, their dad is going to have made their Soapbox Derby cars for them, and they're all gonna win. One of them is gonna win, and you're gonna be pissed. That's how it always is.
Right.
You show up at all of these kind of competition type of things, and you worked really hard doing it yourself, and you show up, and the kid who wins is the one whose dad built the shit for him.
Yeah, usually how it goes.
When I was in high school, we did one of those make a container to put an egg in, then drop it off of the second floor and see if it doesn't break.
Yeah.
And, you know, go higher and higher and higher until finally, you get to the height where the last one breaks and the last one's still alive. And I actually won that competition, but a lot of the other people who I know, they didn't make the thing themselves. I mean, this guy can't zip his own fly after he goes to the bathroom. I know he didn't make the thing in himself. I mean, we're in high school, too, which that was pathetic. But
yeah, I'm using all recycled materials.
Oh, you have to use all you're using all recycled materials?
By recycled materials, I mean things I find in the dumpster.
Okay. So that's when you go dump. That's what you know, the Australian dumpsters do have the best Soapbox Derby car.
They truly do.
Parts. Really. I mean, if traveling all over the world going dumpster diving, you know, cuz I read the comments on the post on that website that was talking about the tour.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming to the show.
Thank you, JT.
Coming up on June 25th, I'm going to be performing at Fulton 55, and of course, I'll be going to various open mics around town. The open mics in town on the first and third Tuesday of every month at Fulton 55, and. On every Monday night at Ty Palms, there's an open mic. And then every Thursday night at Fat Boys Taqueria, there's an open mic.
There's also Monday nights is a review, so you got a double option.
Review? Oh, yeah, the review in Tower District. Right. That's not just a comedy open mic, though. That's a straight open mic. You know, it's mostly musicians.
Mostly music. I've seen a lot more diversity there.
Yeah. I went there once, and they seemed... not unfriendly, but confused by the fact that there were comedians there. Because there were two of us who were stand-up comics who were there.
Right.
It's like, you know, it was like it was the first time comics had ever shown up to do the open mic. And so they were just like, what are comics doing here, kind of? And, you know, it was fine. It's not like they were rude or anything. The audience was great. It's just they were surprised to see us.
They don't take too kindly to our kind around here.
We don't like your kind around here. Now, how do you do that with the gay hipster accent, though? Because that's what you got in Tower District. It's the gay hipsters are there.
Something of that nature.
We don't take very kindly for your type around here. They just sound bored with you.
That's what they're trying to put upon.
Yeah,
well, I've got somewhere to be, but I don't really have to be anywhere.
Fine. Yeah, you know, I don't have to be here. I'm here because I want. I'm here to do as a favor to you. Okay, I don't have to do this. All right, well, hey, Nick Warner, thanks again for coming out to do the show.
No problem, anytime.
And I am JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and thanks for listening to the show. I will talk to you soon.
Peace. Thank you. Peace.